like you turn your Bibles, please, to Genesis 18. Genesis chapter 18 tonight. And I do know that this is extremely busy week. I will try to keep that in mind as I speak to you tonight. I'm very excited about the message. I hope it'll help you as it has helped me. Really, and I don't know who it was, but approximately, I'm going to guess, about a month ago, and I cannot remember who I was dealing with. They told me that all these difficult situations came in their life, and it was awful. I really honestly cannot, I've tried to figure out who was that, and I don't even remember the situations. I must be getting old or something, you can't remember a month ago. But they said, you know, at the time, it seems so awful. But God has shown me now years and years and decades later how He was orchestrating it all together for my life. You know, it wasn't but a few days after that, I had almost the same conversation. That God was orchestrating something, putting it all together. And I've been pondering that for about a month now because there are moments in my life, and I won't bore you with my life, but I will say there are moments in my life that I can look back that what at the moment seemed like the end of the world and seemed like this is so awful, God was moving it all together for His good. Just an amazing thing. You can't see some of the things He's doing now, but He can see. We're in Genesis chapter 18. And the Lord appeared unto him, to Abraham, in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. He said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that, ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened unto the tent of Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the earth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the young man. And he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it on before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And he said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to thy time of life. Lo, Sarah, thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door and was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were old, well stricken in age, and ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I certainly bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? That time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence, and they looked towards Sodom. And Abram went on his way with them to bring them on the way. And now our text. And the Lord said, search the Lord. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? See, God knew what he was doing. God sees the future, but Abraham did not see it. Seeing that Abraham should become, surely become a great and mighty nation, the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, here's our verse, that he will command his children. He didn't even have them. He will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. Father, it's very obvious that we're a blessed people in this place. I thank you for the great North Valley Baptist Church. I thank you for our friends that around the world watch this service. I thank you for these dear people in this auditorium. And Lord, how I love them. And I pray that in these moments that we're together, that tonight you would speak to our hearts on this truth this evening that's before us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to you tonight. Let God see what you cannot see. Let God see. God can see ahead. I cannot. God can see tomorrow. I cannot. God can see next week, next month. God can see your last day. I cannot. Neither can you. The girls in our college years ago made a song, very famous and popular, exciting and thrilling, spoke to my heart. He already sees my tomorrow. God, there's no surprises with God. Now we sing, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine. I can look back. I know yesterday and I know today, but I don't know about tomorrow. We had two preachers pass away this week, both great men of God. And both those preachers, they had no idea what was going to be the day of their death. But this was the week that God took them home to be with him. And they're in the presence of God. I don't know the day I'll die. I don't know if it'll be the rapture of the church when I'm going by way of rapture or by the way of a casket. But God knows, because he says, your days are numbered by me. Jack, I know your days. I know how many days you're going to live. And I know when I'm going to take you home. And I know when your journey's going to be done. Paul had no idea, but he said, I see my time of my departure is at hand. They're going to cut my head off my body. I know that. And he said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Whatever God gives you to do this day, do it. Because I don't know about tomorrow, but God does. God knows about this great church. He knows what he has planned in the days and the weeks and the months and the years and the decades. If he chooses to tarry in his coming, he knows how he's going to use this church in these last days. God knows everything about tomorrow. I can look back. I cannot look forward. I don't know what the future holds, but I can look back. And I look back, I think of that song we sing, looking back through the years. I can look back to 1959. And I won't tell you this story, but that year in 59 and 60, when our whole world came caving in among us, those are the pivotal years that I look that God did so much in my personal life as a boy in my dad's home. We didn't know it at the time when it seemed like the world was caving in. And mother and dad, the world may have been caving in, but you wouldn't know it talking to them. They were just still fired up about being a Christian and not coming to church moody and mad. You see, I don't know what the future holds, but God does. God knows exactly what's ahead for me. And hear that text. The Lord said, he saw something that Abraham could not see. He said, Abraham, verse 19, you're going to have children. What? I'm in my 90s. Yes, but you're going to have children. And Sarah laughed. You got to be kidding. But God said, no, I see that. You don't see it, but I see it. That's miraculous. You cannot see what God can see. But he said, here's what your job's going to be. When you get those kids, I like verse 19. For I know him. I have confidence in you, Abraham. Watch it on this Father's Day. He will command his children. That doesn't mean boss around. That word command in the Hebrew language has no sense. You're going to boss your kids around. You're going to boss Isaac around. You're going to boss Ishmael around. You're going to boss all your children around. You're not going to, it has nothing to do with bossing. The word command is a wonderful word. The word command for Abraham here is that word that deals with the thought that you are going to be responsible to put in order everything in your home. You're going to order your home. You're going to organize your home. You're going to have an order to your home. And sir, tonight, your job, dear lady, your job is to have order to your home. If you're a single adult, the purpose of your life as a single adult is to learn to put order in your life. We'll have students come here to Bible college this fall, and by and large, they're amazing, they're wonderful. They're like a few that are staying with us this summer, but every year we'll have a father call or a mother call and say, my son is getting a lot of demerits. And they'll say, well, it's because he doesn't get out of bed in the morning. And they'll say, we expect you to get our kid out of bed in the morning and get him to class. Don't expect me to get any kid out of bed. If he's 18, 19, 20, 21, 23, 25, and can't get himself out of bed, he doesn't belong in any college. He ought to have some order to his life. He ought to have the ability, she ought to have the ability to order, say, well, I'm making X amount of dollars a month, and I'm spending $7 a day at Starbucks, but I can't pay my bill every 30 days. Well, you've not ordered your life. You've not put order in your life. Teenagers, and thank God for you young people that are visiting and the North Valley Baptist Church. Young people, you better put some order to your life. It's summer, and I hope you're just sleeping in. But not till 11 o'clock in the morning, that's no order. And not till 10 o'clock in the morning, that's no order. Now, next Friday, when you're ready for your nervous breakdown, and so am I, sleep in. But Mr. Treber will tell you that, and it's different for me, it should, but next Friday morning, I guarantee it, I'll bound out of bed. I'll wake up about 4 like I do every day. I don't get him out of bed always at 4, about 5 o'clock I do, but I wake up without an alarm clock. It's different, I know. Young people, get some rest, but there ought to be some order to your life. The order ought to be Bible. The order ought to be prayer. Amen. Amen. The order ought to be work. W-O-R-K, work. The order ought to be saving. The order ought to be thrift. You ought to put some order to your life. Marriage, husbands and wives, there ought to be some order. And he says, I want you to know you don't have any kids. You're going to get some kids. And I want you to command them. I want you to put order in your home. I would believe you'd agree with me. The average home in America has no order, no structure. But God is a God of structure. That's why he says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, let all things be done decently and in order. He will bring the sun up and you can count on the time. If you have an iPhone, you can see what time is coming up at 5 something tomorrow morning, and it will be up because that's the time that God does it. And he'll set the time, the sun at a certain time, and the high tide and the low tide, and you can count on the next event. After summer is fall, and after fall is winter, and after winter is spring, because God does things decently and in order. There was an order when Noah built the ark. There was an order when God created mankind and created living things, and the sun and the moon and the stars. And he said, I want you to command your children. I want you to put in order. I mentioned this morning the 15 million kids living in a home without a father. And if that's you, don't have a chip on your shoulder. My heart aches for you. 44% of all homes have no dad. You're missing part of the structure. And mother and dad, mother, you have a tremendous responsibility then to try to put order in the life of a child. A teenage boy, you're now 14 or 13 or 12, and your mother's trying to put order in your life, and you don't want it, or you're 15, and you rebel against your mother. Your mom has taken the responsibility of placing order in your life. That's her job. Dad's not there, there needs to be order. Mother's not there, dad needs to have order in your life. Dad, the order is Christ. He's first. The order, secondly, is your companion. The order, thirdly, is your children. The order, fourth, is your church. Put things in order. You say, well, no, for me, it's life. It's the Warriors. Basketball. That's my life. You have an empty life. I'm not saying you cannot enjoy sports, but that's certainly not preeminence. Christ should be preeminent. Some tonight make it business, and I'm going to be successful, and I'm going to have money, and I'm going to have travel, and I'm going to have possessions, and I'm going to have this, and I'm going to have that. But that's all fleeting. It's going to burn. One day it all burn. It means really very little value. You're a parent, and I know once you're a parent, I'm still a parent. Those kids don't need me. They love me. Got texts from all of them today. I believe they all love me, and I love them. And I pray for them. But we raise our kids to release our kids. We don't raise our kids to hibernate around, to circle over them. Many in this church, you great, dear, wonderful people, are struggling with that. We've been through that. You think your whole world's caving in now because your kids are out of your home and they're off and running. They're in the military. They're in the ministry. And you can't let them go. You're going to have to, for their sake and for yours, pray for them, love them, write them, email them, talk to them. But let them grow up. And let them get out that ministry and go. Oh, I'm looking forward to the day our son's been down there 18 months in Arizona and started 9 months ago, that church, we were there opening day. I don't know when we'll ever make it down there on a Sunday again. But I tell you what, I talked to him yesterday for a lengthy time. I had such a good visit with him as we talked. But he's flying by himself. It's his job. It's not my job to be there every other weekend. See how quiet it's getting here? It's time to release them. Let them go. Let them fly. Well, they don't call me. Well, they will one day. They'll need money. Some of you sweet dads, an adult man, I mentioned this Wednesday. I don't know all about why I mentioned it all, but some of you men need to bury your dream for right now and live for their dream. I know God calls adult men into the ministry. I know all that. But don't sacrifice your kids at the price of fulfilling your dream. God sees what's going to happen. And if you take your kids out of an environment where they can grow in grace and live for God, you may be throwing away their future over here. We got them that old 53 Chevy station wagon. It was probably about 1957. My dad was driving a tow truck and working at the Chevy dealership. as a mechanic. And up here in this area, as they said, we want you to fill a pulpit Sunday morning, Sunday night. He goes, I'm not a preacher. They said, well, you teach Sunday school, just we need a preacher. And our pastor said, go, and we went. I'll never forget putting that back tailgate down and having sandwiches Sunday afternoon on that tailgate. Mother brought the food, and we ate there. And Sunday night after he was done preaching, they said, would you just leave out of the auditorium? And I've told you this before. When you were out of the auditorium, I can remember that. And then they said, come on back in. They said, we just voted you in to my dad to be our pastor. And he said, my job, God gave me a household of three. What are you saying? I'm to command them. I'm going to guide them. I'm going to organize them. I am going to order their lives. And he said, my job is not to have them sacrifice for me to do this. My job is to get them prepared for what God has for their lives to serve God. You know, years later, almost 50 years, my sister and her husband has been a preacher of the gospel. Almost about 50 years later, my sister has been a part of a deacon's home and godly man and godly wife and played the organ in church in Tennessee this morning. You know, friend, my dad said, you know, thank God. You know what? Had my dad moved us away at that time? Had he moved us away? And I know sometimes God's, I know the mission, I know all those things. My dad would have had me miss Mrs. Roth. 1962. I just stood at the casket of Mrs. Roth. She was 97, my sixth grade school teacher. Unsaved. But God put her in my life because the year before I hated my class. I hated it. I hated fifth grade. I couldn't stand that teacher. She was a chain smoker. She was obnoxious. She was not kind. She was not thoughtful. She was mean-spirited. She always had bad breath. I mean it. I'm not raising my hand. She comes and she leans over your desk and breathes that breath of hers. I hated school. I hated it. I went to sixth grade with Mrs. Roth. She had a gentleness about her. I knew I wasn't smart. She thought I was brilliant. She believed in me. A Roman Catholic lady. Oh, those days are so special days because I had an aunt, Eleanor. She was a member of this church. Her husband built the Clyde Avenue over there, the first big project. And my Aunt Eleanor, in those days of my life, was shaping my life, and I would have missed that opportunity. I had a pastor's wife. I had a pastor and our pastor, and they were shaping my life with youth hour and with summer camp for 10 days, and they were shaping it every single week with our choir and rest home service. They were shaping. I wasn't missing out, but I didn't see North Valley Baptist Church. I didn't see I was going to be a pastor. I knew I couldn't do that. I turned 16, and Chuck Wall said over here in Irvington District, Jack, you're going this week to Santa Clara, California, and you're going on the El Camino Real, where I was by there yesterday, and he said, you're going to work in Fry's Food Store. We have a Fry's Electronics. It had about the same size sign, maybe the same guy, Fry's Food Store, a grocery chain. I worked here, and he said, I'm sending you to Santa Clara. Do you know that our old Clyde Avenue building was built originally, it's torn down now, in 1962. I could have taken my car and driven by a little street, all these farmlands here called Clyde Avenue, and seen a little church building and sat down out front and say, glory to God, this is 1962, and in 1976, I'm going to be the pastor of the great church called North Valley Baptist Church. It's not even there now. But I couldn't see the future. Abraham could not see Isaac coming. His wife could not. They laughed at it. I've thought of this so many times, Brother Bruno. if the Lord tarries. And one day this old body becomes feeble. You might be sitting right now, next or around the next pastor of this great church. It may be your son. My sweet pastor, he came to California from Michigan, Jackson, Michigan. He came in 1954. And when he came to Michigan, to a city called, incorporated to be Fremont in 1956. He began a church in a barn. And from a barn, we built a building, literally no electricity, lanterns. And then the 70s, I was pastoring this great church. And the early 80s, he called me. He said, "Jack, I believe God wants you. We've got a school here. We've got our church. I believe God wants you to pastor this church." I said, "I already have a church." He said, "You can do both." I'll never forget that next year, having two schools and having two churches and four services on Sunday, and having a Tuesday night service and having a Wednesday night service. You know, when I was a boy sitting in that church, I never knew that I'd pastor my home church. They had one pastor, and the second pastor was your pastor. God saw what I could not see. God forbid. But you're going to face a divorce. Are you going to face a separation? Are you going to face a casket? Are you going to face some sorrow? Are you going to face the fact that your limbs go weak? Are you going to face cancer or MS or Parkinson's or whatever? Or I may as well. And God already sees it. God already knows. God sees my tomorrow. God knows where I'm going. And he said, "Now, you're going to have a son, Abraham. And when you get that son, I want you to command his life. I want you to order his life, because you're getting him ready. He is going to be taken in chapter 22 upon Mount Moriah. And you're going to have to lift up to slay him. And as you get ready to slay," he didn't know God was going to provide a ram. But God knew it. He didn't know that on that same mountain, one day, there was a standing old rugged cross, and Jesus Christ was going to die for the sin of mankind. But God Almighty saw it. He looked down through the years, and he could see. I'm saying tonight that let God see what you cannot see. Our children don't turn out for God, and we throw the towel in. Well, maybe God's not done with them yet. Maybe they'll backslide, and maybe they'll break your heart. But God, maybe is going to do something great in their lives through their hurt or through their sin or through their sorrow or through their disappointment or through their failure. God knows all about it, friend. So what do? You order their life while you have opportunity. You don't need to write them down. When you're ordering in the life, teach obedience, teach respect, teach honesty, teach kindness. Because what are you doing? You're ordering, you're arranging their lives. Teach faith, teach gratitude, teach decision making, in other words, choices, teach consequences, teach how to lose. It's good to learn how to lose, because you're going to lose a lot in life. Teach it. I'm not for participation trophies. You're lost. You're a loser. Teach generosity. Teach forgiveness. Teach savings. Teach authority. Teach godliness. Teach holiness. Teach the importance of the New Testament local church. Teach work ethic. Teach love. Teach duty. Teach savings. Teach thrift. Teach habits. Teach thanksgiving. Teach devotion. Teach tonight character and wisdom and integrity and a harvest mind. You sow, you reap. Teach humility. Teach the Bible. Teach prayer. What are you doing in your home? You're ordering a life for today, yes, but for tomorrow. Because God's going to take all that you ordered their lives and use it over here. God sees. God knows about your son. God knows about your daughter. God knows about your marriage. God knows about your health. God knows about your bankruptcy. I find in verse number 19, for I know him. God said, I know Abraham. Hey, I know you, Abraham. God said, I know you, Abraham. I know what you're going to do. You're going to command your children. You're going to order your children. You're going to put everything in their lives today for tomorrow. And watch it. And his household after him. And his household. They shall, one, keep the way of the Lord. Two, do justice. Three, judgment. Today is, yes, for your children, play. But it's also chores. It's also giving to others. It's also helping others. He had a duty because he was raising Isaac. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. He was raising one of the patriarchs of the faith, and he was too old to even be a father, but God saw it. God saw what Abraham could not see. He said, let me keep seeing what I know, but you today, you take responsibility and order your son's life today. Parents, if we're not careful, our insecurities are showing up. If we're not careful, our selfishness is showing up. But God has a dream for what you're responsible for. Order it, guide it. That's why in our lives, all of us, we ought to do our best to take care of our health. And don't destroy the future that God has planned because we are eating ourselves to a grave with sugar and fats and things that are destroying the body. Take care of your health. Order your health. Order your diet. Order your house. Order your vehicles. Order your spiritual life. Order your social life. Very obvious that I'm not a 30-year-old kid. I'm glad I'm married to a lady that doesn't believe I should sit around on the couch when the sun is up. I'm not going to sit on the couch and waste my life when the sun is up. I'm going to see something taken care of and taken part of my life, because right here, I can look back and see what God, and I can see where I'm at. I'm telling you right now, no, I'm not going to order my casket. I'm seeing from here to there when God calls me home. And what I see, God knows all about it, but I don't see a casket yet. I see a lot of life. I see a lot of miracles. I see a lot of things that God will reveal and God will show. But I don't want to get to this point and say, well, it's over. That's why I ride that bicycle, not 50 miles a week, though I did a couple weeks ago with my wife, but I'm not a bicycle. I just ride for motion and prayer. And that's why we walk, and I don't get it every day. I try to take those 20,000 steps a day. And that's why I don't have to have the closest parking stall to the department store, because the further away I am, the more. And that's why I don't take the elevator, but instead I go to see the hospital, and I go to the fourth floor, and I walk up every flight of steps, and I walk back every step, because it tells me how many steps I walk on stairs every day. I'm just going to keep walking them, because I want to do everything I can today that tomorrow I'm still with this. I'm still excited. I'm still in this thing. I'm fired up. I want to order my life today. I don't want my life to be ordered, please. And I know some of you have to take pills. And I don't want to order my life as much as possible by pills. I do order my life by vitamins. That's why you won't believe us. I'm 97 years of age and look how I look. I'm not the epitome of Mr. Health. But I tell you what, there's too much from here to the finish line. The finish line may be tomorrow, but I hope if God tarries, it's way down there. I've got too many more weddings I want to prepare and fulfill for the young people of this church. I want to be at their weddings, and I want to be at their events, and I want to hold their babies, and I want to pray with their families, and I want to see more missionaries sent out, and more preachers sent out, and more Bible college trained, students trained, and I want to see more of our people get a vision for life. I'd like to see more retired and say, I'm retired. Now I can do something full-time for God. Don't even need a salary. Let's stand together, please. I'm saying tonight, God already sees tomorrow. God said to Abraham, I see it. You're going to be a dad. Almost 100 years old. Yeah, but you're going to be a dad. But it's too late. Yeah, but you're going to be a dad. And I'm going to raise him up. And you are going to live with a man of God that will lead this nation. Father, God, please help people to come.